It is Monday, September 20th. This is Jaguars Happy Hour. Jaguars Happy Hour is brought to you by Jet Home Loans. And now, if he's wearing it and it's new, it was probably free. J.P. Shadrick.
That's true, and welcome in. This is Jaguars Happy Hour. After another Jaguars loss, 2-for-1 drinks in this happy hour would be nice right about now. We've got a big show ahead. Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli are on deck today, of course, on a Monday afternoon. Tony Boselli at some point, he's getting ready for Monday Night Football on Westwood One tonight. No telling when he'll join us from Lambeau Field, but he is scheduled to be on the program tonight. Broncos over the Jaguars, of course, in Week 2, 23-13. We'll review the game. Overall felt a little better, but we're not into moral victories here. Social media questions, there were plenty of those today, and we'll go around the National Football League and some really good finishes around the NFL that didn't involve the Broncos-Jaguars game, but some really good ones. J.P. Shadrick with you, of course. Pete Prisco is along with us to begin the show today. And
By the way, yes, Boselli is trying to get in somehow because he just somehow the Skype came in and he kicked me off of you guys and he was talking to me. So he might be on in a little bit, but I don't know what happened.
Yeah, you know what? This will be the highest rated 15 minutes we'll have all 2 hours, Pete.
Look, I'm all for it. That more of me is good. That's the way I always see it.
No doubt. Let's get into the game, Pete. And, you know, 23-13, the offense, boy, they were great in the opening drive. They go 11 plays, 83 yards, and then just couldn't do anything else the rest of the day. No points, only 106 yards after that 83-yard drive the rest of the game. What happened?
Well, a couple things. Got away from the run. Got a run. The receivers do not win. The scheme is not good. If you have receivers who can't win and you play the same scheme that they're using, that's a bad combination.
What is the scheme? What would you call the scheme right now?
Basic. They line up 2x2 or 3x1 and they run routes. They don't pick. They don't rub. They don't bunch. They don't do a lot of the stuff you need to do to get guys open. It's a major disappointment, and I'm going to put this out there. I don't think DJ Chark was completely into the game yesterday for whatever reason. It looked like to me like sometimes he was slow in his run. Maybe he's getting frustrated. I don't know. We saw that last year. I think Chenault had a bad day. He doesn't separate from anybody. Yeah. And they're slow. They're a slow football team, and the quarterback had his problems as well. And I sent out a film picture today on him. Remember when he threw the interception?
Yes.
Well, Luke Farrell was wide open when he turned around. Wide, it would have been an easy completion, and he held it and held it. And then Luke Farrell kind of bowed it out to the outside, and he threw the interception. You got to throw that as soon as he flips his head around. It's a big play. And so the quarterback wasn't good either. And I think he started getting frustrated because guys weren't getting open. They didn't adjust well. In the opening series, the Broncos played a lot of man, and they hit him up a little bit. And then they kind of started playing more zone, and it didn't seem like they were willing to take the check down, which is a problem, and they were willing to be patient and sit down in zones. I don't like the design of the offense. I just don't. I don't think it – and people will say, oh, you're being critical. I'm a big believer in a lot of movement and pre-snap movement and bunches and get guys over here and create mismatches and dictate that, particularly if you don't have guys who can run. And they don't have guys who can run. They're slow. They need to get – and he got on the field late. The Johnson kid started getting on the field because of the injury.
Yeah.
He needs to play. He needs to play. Enough with the slow guys. Get him on the field.
Get fast, guys. That's what Urban Meyer talked about a few weeks ago. They wanted fast offensive guys at the skill positions outside and – it just doesn't seem that way, at least early in the season. Let's hear from Trevor Lawrence, though, after the game. He finished 14 of 33 passing, 118 yards, an early touchdown, the 2 second-half interceptions, and a rating of 37.2. But after the game, he said, just keep working.
2 turnovers. Got to get better at that. Surtain made a great catch on the go ball, so that's one of those. It's like, you know, he made a great play. It happens. But the other one was a bad decision by me. But just continually putting these drives together to stay in the game because you could see we're that close today and just kind of got out of the game towards the end and they ran with it. But I think we're close, and obviously it's not what anybody wants to see, and it's frustrating and disappointing, but we're going to stick together, and I really feel like we're close. You know, we got good enough players to win these games, so we should keep going to work.
Just got to keep going to work, Pete. I mean, come on. They're right there. They're close, according to the quarterback. And I like listening to him talk. He has a way of calming things down around him and has a good handle on a situation like yesterday.
When it comes to the post-game press conference. But that's not going to win games. They got to be better. I mean, they didn't have 200 yards of offense. This is an offensive era.
That's right.
It's terrible.
That's right.
It's a terrible offense right now. There's no other way to describe it.
Tony so, Pete, Bissell, you're saying no, you don't want to be good. Tony Pete, you're saying you don't want to be good in the post-game loss speech category? That's not where you're supposed to achieve?
Well, I don't want to hear any of that crap. We're going to work harder. We're going to be And what is, hang in there with us, guys. Nobody wants to hear that. They've lost 17 straight games. I mean, Urban Meyer hasn't lost 17 straight games, and Trevor Lawrence hasn't lost 17 straight games, but the organization has. That's awful. That's terrible. And when you have a quarter, I just don't think they're developing the quarterback and the scheme around them. I think it's a disaster. I'll be honest with you. I think the offense is a good – and Brady, I mean, Tony, when you were sitting there – yesterday watching the game, the offensive line wasn't that bad.
No, they weren't.
I watched the offensive tape today, and I was expecting really bad stuff from the offensive line, and it wasn't.
They were not the problem.
No, the problem was the receivers can't win.
Well, and they don't. We're not good enough to drop the ball. Like, we're not good enough to overcome opportunities, missed opportunities. You know what I mean, Pete? Like, some teams are good enough. Some teams are just good enough. They're talented enough where they can, they can mess up or have a problem. They just say, no problem. We'll just overcome it. You know, second and 20, no big deal. Bam, bam, first down. I just don't think we're good enough. You know, we little things, big third downs, a couple drops on third down. Those are big for us because it extends the drive. It gets us momentum. We're a young team. So I think that's an issue. And what I'm about to say, I know you're going to hate. I don't know if it's a disaster. I don't know if I'd go that far.
But for what it should be, it is, though. With that guy playing quarterback, it's a disaster.
But I was thinking back this morning to Justin Herbert last year. Remember how good he was, Pete, as a rookie? And now they had more talent around him, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Eckler's a good back. Their offensive line wasn't better, though. Their offensive line was atrocious.
No, that's why they made the changes they did this year.
But you know what they did? They didn't try to protect him from the standpoint. They used his athletic ability, and they let him use his athletic ability. I know you don't like the zone read and some of those run plays, but if you go back and watch the LA Chargers last year, they let Justin Herbert use his legs. They ran a little option here. They ran zone read. They gave him the freedom to take off. And where I think that's important, I think you have to let him go play. Let him be like, let him use his athletic ability. That's a part of his gift. I'm not saying, design an offense like Lamar Jackson runs, but I almost think, are we so worried about him getting hurt? Like, they're telling him, don't run, don't do this. Why not stress the defense with his athletic ability and force them to account for him? And as well as I do, most quarterbacks don't get hurt when they run the ball. They get hurt in the pocket.
But because they're in the pocket a lot more than they are running the ball.
I'm saying I understand that, Pete, but I don't know if I'm convinced, but I think – I just go back to last year. Like, let him go.
I'm not going to deny that. I think – getting him outside and letting him run around and make throws on the run
it loosens you up a little bit, like a zone read here. You go pick up 15 yards, you get dirty a little bit, you come back, you sit, you sling the next thing.
Because they're still not getting open in that. This game stinks.
I get that, but here's the other thing that changes. If you start doing that, what does it do? It changes how you play defense. Now you don't want to play too high safeties. You drop the safety down. You have single high. Maybe you get a little more man. You get different looks because you're stressing the defense based on what you're doing with the quarterback as a run threat. And again, I'm not saying – and by the way, you only have to do it 2 to 4 times a game. And like all of a sudden, they're scared to death of it.
Well, I saw there was actually one play where he booted out, and if he had hit on the zone read, if he had not given it off, he would have had a corner all the way by himself.
That's right.
I know. Let him go. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. But let's just say they can do that. It's still not going to change the fact that those receivers aren't winning outside.
No, but it changes how a defense has to play you. And I think it gets them in a rhythm. And it's like let him go. Let him play. It's football. Yeah.
And by the way,
I'm not against that, by the way. I'm not getting him outside the pocket on his own reads. Let him keep it once in a while. Let him throw off of that stuff on the move. And he can do it. I just think they're stale. How's that?
Tony, to your point, guys get hurt in the pocket a lot. Well, he almost got hurt in the pocket yesterday. So if you're worried about the injury part of it, I mean, you know, he almost was very fortunate, in fact, yesterday to not get that knee hurt. Let's go to defense now quickly as we open Jaguars Happy Hour today. The Jags defense allowed a few big plays, three plays of 30-plus yards allowed in yesterday's game. They had six plays of 20 or more in week one. They had a couple deflections down the field, couldn't bring in an interception. Shaquille Griffin couldn't bring that bobbling interception in. It was incomplete. But he said after the game, just keep the faith on defense.
Same message still apply. You got to stick with it. You got to continue to believe, have faith. The main thing is, man, we can't point no fingers. We got to make sure we all stick with each other because we still got a long season left. And the main thing I don't want guys to do is start giving up now. I got to be able to trust you guys on offense. I got to be able to trust everybody on the defense. I got to be able to trust everybody on the special teams that I know you're going to have my back from first quarter to the end of the fourth. I don't need no waiver. I don't need we might bend, but we never break. And that's the main message. You know, I came in after the game. Soon we came in the locker room. I walked around the whole locker room. You know what I'm saying? The ones who had their head down, stay in it. Continue to believe. Because once it turns around, once it clicks, I need everybody on board.
Everybody, Pete, that means you. No wavering. Andrew Wingard led the way in tackles yesterday. Had a sack as well. One of three sacks for the Jaguars defense. Rayshon Jenkins had a pass defense. The play after Shaquille Griffin nearly had an interception and a pass defense. Devon Hamilton had five tackles. Josh Allen had his second sack of the season yesterday, too. This defense, and in the second half of this game, when you know Lawrence is throwing interceptions and the game could have really got away from him, they did what they could in that moment to keep it a two-score game, held them to field goals, and gave the Jaguars a chance. And then it turned out the kickoff return, if they get the two-point conversion, it would have been a one-score game with a few minutes left. The defense, I think, played really hard yesterday. It just didn't really turn out the right way. Tony, what do you think?
Well, no, there's no doubt they played hard, but they're on the field for almost 39 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's a combination of not getting off the field, and it's a combination of your offense not staying on it. So I'm not putting that all in the defense. But I think they gave basically up 400 yards of offense again. If you don't, you know, the couple kneel downs at the end were minus yards. So was it better? Yes, it was better than the Houston game. No, there's no doubt about it. But I mean, to be clear, I don't think that Broncos offense is a high explosive, high scoring group. I mean, they didn't score many points against the Giants as well in week one. And so, I mean, they're a good group, but that strength of that team is the defense. The test for our defense will be this coming week with Kyler Murray coming to town and DeAndre Hopkins in that group. But this would be a real test coming up. But I think JP, they played better.
They played better. They made Courtland Sutton look like a superstar. My gosh. I mean, come on. And Teddy Bridgewater threw for 328. That's not what they want to do. I don't know. The defense was better, but it's nowhere near being good. Nowhere near it. I mean, again, when you come to the line of scrimmage, I thought that, you know, the run defense again, but you look at Williams averaged 4.9 per rush. Wasn't like they stopped that either.
No. So
there was a little bit more pressure. The secondary, yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. I don't know. It's not good enough. And I think Shaquille Griffin's smart when he says, you know, I don't want anybody quitting because you're two games in. If you're quitting now, you got a problem.
Well, I'm surprised we're already getting the don't quit conversation this early in the year. You know what I mean, Pete? Usually you don't hear.
I know.
It's okay. It's week two. I agree. I agree with Shaquille.
I mean, why would you quit? Come on, it's 2 weeks in. That's ridiculous. And and the whole shtick of we're going to work harder, just go win a game. Nobody wants to hear. People don't want to hear that. You're supposed to be working hard every single week, win or lose. We're going to work harder. We're going to work to overcome this. Well, what are you going to? What else are you going to do? Not work? I just hate the shtick. I don't like it.
What do you want him to say?
Not him.
Urban. No, what do you want Urban to say? What do you want Urban to say? That's what I'm saying. What
we
would
got
you
our
like
ass. It? We got our ass kicked. We're going to go try and get better. We hope to be better next week. We're not where we need to be. We thought we would be better at this time. Maybe we'll open it up and have a quarterback competition.
On that note, let's come back in just a moment. Plenty ahead on the show today. Speaking of the quarterback, we'll get into his day at the office here at TIAA Bankfield yesterday. Season tickets, single game tickets, and group tickets still available. Be a part of the new era of Jaguars football and own it. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 904-633-2000. Coming up, quarterback talk a little later, deeper into the defense, the second hour. We'll have your social media questions and a look around the NFL. We are off and running. It's Jaguars Happy Hour, presented by Jet Home Loans on the Jaguars Digital Network.
The station that the Jaguars listen to, 1010 XL, home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think that's something that's a consensus that at one, he threw one in there to LaVisca, actually threw a heck of a ball, but should have checked it down. And then sometimes it checks it down when the guys are covered. So it's just working through. It's young quarterback stuff, and he'll improve. Just coach him through it. Just, the one thing about Trevor Lawrence is now he's a smooth guy. Nothing really phases him that bad so far, and we got to make sure it doesn't, because that's a learning process for a young quarterback. You see it all over the NFL. Every year you see that. So he's just got to work through it.
That's head coach Urban Meyer earlier today on the Monday recap press conference. And welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on a Monday afternoon. JP Shadrick, Pete Frisco is down in South Florida. Tony Vaselli is at Lambeau Field, Green Bay, for Monday Night Football. Preview that
Lambeau coming up. Field.
Are you a fill-in, or are you supposed to do this game?
No, I've known for a couple months.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing this game. Who are you doing it with?
Kevin Harlan, the great Kevin Harlan.
Oh, Kevin's awesome.
What
man.
A classic.
That's a good team. I like it, Vaselli.
Yeah, so Kurt usually does Monday nights. I do Thursday nights. He has some conflict, so I'm filling in.
There you go.
Kevin's the one that if there's a streaker on the field, he calls the live play-by-play of the streaker running down the field.
He does. That is what he does.
Which is fantastic.
He also calls the Packers games in the preseason, so he's familiar with that team.
I like that.
Pete, they looked – did you watch the tape of them?
They were awful.
They were awful. So bad.
And that Saints team got their butt beat yesterday.
I didn't realize until I was getting ready for the game this week that they're starting a rookie center and right guard.
Yeah, Newman and Myers both. And the nose tackle, the rookie nose tackle on the Lions, McNeil, is very good.
Yeah, he's a good player. So we'll talk about Monday Night Football later. Sorry.
Yeah, a little bit later. Yeah. That's all good. Hey, you're at Lambeau, and you got a nice view of the proceedings there tonight. We just heard from Urban discussing Trevor Lawrence there. Let's get into this a little deeper, Pete. A couple of picks yesterday in the game. He scrambled a couple times on a fourth down play. He picked up a first down on a scramble. Finished with 118 yards, a touchdown, two picks, a 37.2 rating. And for the year now, four touchdowns, five interceptions. But as Urban said, Pete, nothing phases him. He responds at least in the film room, it sounds like. Just got to have a little better performance when it comes down to it on the field. And part of that, as you said earlier, is probably how the offense has not been totally balanced yet. They've gotten away from the run a little bit early in the season if they have some of that. And if the field goals are made, it's a different game in the second half, obviously, too. A different feel of the game and maybe a different approach offensively.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to go back to the wide receivers. They don't win. They just don't win. And until they win, he's not going to look comfortable. And so I think he holds ball. There are times when he can check it down, and he doesn't check it down. And he should check it down. I think Urban's right about that. But, Tony, the play where he threw the interception, the one when he was trying to throw to Farrell, Luke Farrell's wide open as he turns his –
He was late. He didn't see him. He didn't see him until late.
And then by the time he saw him, Luke Farrell started turning out because he saw the safety coming over, so he turned out. The safety, if you go back and I watched it today on the 22, the safety's takes about three steps to the other side of the field.
He's just late seeing it. That's a rookie move. He's just late. But I'll go back. I mean, Urban kind of referred to it. Third down, just bullet. He's hit in between like three defenders. He had no business throwing it, but he has such a big arm. And hit LaVisca Chenault right in the hands. Like, those are the plays you have to make. That's a 20-yard catch. It's moved the chains. And it was – I don't care if it was the wrong decision. It wasn't the wrong decision for him because he can get away with it.
Like Mahomes. Mahomes can get away with the wrong decision too.
You got to make those catches. And then another third down, I'm not picking on LaVisca Chenault, the slant hits him in the hands. That's a 10, 15-yard play. Move the chains. I mean –
That one was a little bit out.
No, it hit him in the hand.
He's got to catch it though. You're right.
He's a professional receiver. But like we're playing. It's not like Pop Warner. We're like, look at little Johnny caught the ball. Yippee!
Well, makes you for everybody.
That team, look, little Johnny had a 30-yard catch. Whippee! Oh wait, they don't have any. I mean, Tony, the one play, and I thought maybe watching the tape today, he looked like he was having problems with the rain when it did rain. In that little sequence where it rained, his passes sailed.
Well, you know,
like he had Chark on that
corner route,
post corner, and he missed him big time. They came back to that, ran the exact same play later in the game, and he tried to go there again, and it wasn't open. I mean,
he's a rookie quarterback. I still think he's got to let him go. I'd say, listen, go play football. Go run it when you need to run it. Pass it when you need to pass it. Like, play football.
Well, you know they want to – Urban wants to run more spread offense. You know that.
Yeah.
Well, why did he hire Bevel?
I don't know. If that's Urban that. But,
their philosophies don't mesh.
I'm convinced if you look at a lot of the success of young quarterbacks in the NFL today is because the systems that were installed are so similar to the systems that they're running in college with a lot of the same concepts at least. And if you go watch Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, I mean, he's a dynamic, athletic. Yeah, he can play for the pocket, but he moves around. He buys time. He runs the ball. Some of his bigger plays using his legs. I know everyone's so scared to death of getting hurt, but like you got to go play.
But, okay, wouldn't he be great in the Niners system?
Yeah.
Right.
I would think.
I mean, that just – I just think their system – and maybe I'm being nitpicky, but I just it's like Mike McCarthy back when he was with the Packers. Now, he did it, I was told, because Rodgers liked it that way. Where two guys or one guy on one side, two on the other, and he could help identify. He felt that was a way where he could read it better. But Trevor Lawrence isn't that guy. He's got to have guys get freed up with motions and boots and creativity. I don't see it. I don't see it.
Yeah.
You agree with me, too. You just don't want to say it. I can see it in your face.
What are you talking
about? You think they should do more bunch and movement and pre-snap movement and all that and picks and everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think moving. I mean, create as many matchup favorable matchups as you can. I think the bigger thing is I'd let him. I don't know why we're not using his athletic ability. Why not run a couple zone reads? Why not roll the pocket more? Why not get him?
I agree with that.
They did roll a little bit more. I mean, they did this week. He moved the pocket a little bit more. But he is. I mean, I just remember watching him at Clemson. He's so dang athletic, and you see him get out there. He covers ground like he covers 5 yards in like a step. So I think it's never one thing, Pete. I mean, as we always talk about, it's not just the play calling. It's not just Trevor. It's not just the receivers, but it's all the above. And they're just not, they're not executing. They get out of, they, right when you think they have a rhythm, they kind of shoot themselves in the foot with a mistake or a penalty. And, you know, so it's pretty much, you know, what we're describing is a inexperienced young team led by a rookie quarterback.
But like in some games, you sit there and you say, okay, it was the offensive line. Well, and yesterday you thought it might be the offensive line when you went into that game with Chubb and Miller and those guys. And it wasn't. It was not. So what is it? Is it the quarterback? Why he never got comfortable, but why didn't he get comfortable? And I think part of that has to do with the fact that the receivers don't win and they're not getting schemed open to win. When you go back in the pocket and you don't have, I mean, there, how many times, Tony, have you, when you watch the tape, do you stop it when he back foot hits the ground? And if you see anybody winning, who's winning? They're not winning.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, Tyron, it's hard
Johnson,
to argue.
Tyron Johnson needs to get on the field.
Well, he went out there and he jumped off sides.
I don't care. He probably got to let him work with the first team, get some speed on the field.
False start is not a good way to get it going. Let's come back in a moment. A little more defensive talk when we return. Also a little later, more on Monday Night Football. Tony's got the call on Westwood One tonight. And in the second hour, we'll get to your social media questions and special teams talk. All that ahead, and check out the official Jaguars Podcast Network. A free subscription on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you download your pods. Give us that 5-star rating as always, and this is Jaguars Happy Hour, presented by Jet Home Loans on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Dempsey and Fat Tony, Jaguars Today. All Jaguars, all NFL, all the time. 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL.
Coach Tony did an amazing job making sure the calls were perfect. I feel like his play call was amazing this game. You know, I made sure I told him that right after the game. You know, that was perfect. Every situation was great, and let's build off of it. Let's continue to build off that. Continue to get this defense together. You know, we just got to start getting the turnovers. Continue to help the offense out.
That is Shaq Griffin, Jaguars cornerback. Came in free agency this year. Talking about the defensive performance in yesterday's game. And welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, and Tony Vaselli. Tony is not with us right now. The Skype.
He was eating.
Hold on. The over-under on pregame bratwurst for Tony is 2.5. And I'm taking the over, Pete.
It's amazing. He's like shoving chips in his mouth while we're sitting here. We can hear him.
What in the world?
I didn't know we came back on the air. I was
hungry. And you're going, what are you eating there? Cheese curds?
No. It's my favorite potato chip. What do you think my favorite potato chips are? You'll never guess.
The ones that are closest to you?
Yeah, besides the closest ones to me.
Utz potato chips. You ever
heard? No, I love Frito corn chips. Those are my favorite chips.
Fritos are good.
I can't stop eating them. Anytime a stadium has them, I just go to town, and the Packers have a bunch of Fritos.
They're so tough on the gut, though. I mean, God, the person sitting on the plane next to you tomorrow.
Oh, so good.
So we just heard from – look at him. He's like down drinks. Like, what are we doing over here? This is a professional broadcast tonight. I'll tell you, I like
it. Glorious. It's glorious.
Let's get a little more into this defense. Shaq Griffin there talking about Cullen calling the game yesterday. And they did get 3 sacks. They got 3 sacks on Teddy Bridgewater. He's not quite as mobile as the previous week, and certainly not this week ahead with Kyler Murray. But – what'd you think of the game that Cullen called yesterday, Pete?
I mean, it was okay. I don't mind aggressiveness at times. The players know better than me if it was a good plan or not. But they have to be aggressive in their pass rush because they don't have guys who win consistently. And it's not unlike the other side of the ball. If you don't have guys who win consistently, do a better job scheming those guys up. And I think Joe Cullen's got to do a better job. He has to do a job of trying to scheme pass rushers up. If you're like Denver and you can just line up Von Miller and Bradley Chubb when they're both healthy and go rush, then you don't have to scheme a lot of stuff up. But they do because they don't have those guys.
Well,
Allen was okay. Yes, I thought Allen did a pretty good job yesterday.
Yeah, but whether it's scheme, whether it's players, whether you know, I lean towards you, Pete. It's more about the Jimmys and Joes and the X's and O's. The bottom line is you got to go make plays. You have to disrupt the other team, whether it's disrupt them from the defensive side of the ball, disrupt the opposing offense, or offense disrupt the defense with big plays and chunk yardage and get them on their heels and get them, you know, you dictating pace. We don't dictate pace on either side of the ball. And that is critical. And that was what's, you know, you look at that first opening drive, they did dictate some pace. They were on that good momentum, that good, a good cadence out there, that good tempo. They're getting up, good mix of run and pass, you know, play action, they move the pocket a little bit. I mean, they had, you know, they got in a rhythm. And we just haven't seen that enough out of this Jaguars team on either side of the ball.
And I know you were in the booth thinking, okay, the first game was an aberration. This drive is what they're really going to be.
Pete, I've been involved in too many football games where the first drive goes a certain way and, you're convinced that everything's fixed. And then you're like, oh, they made an adjustment. You mean they're not going to line up the same way every time?
It looked to me on the tape that they played more man early in the game and then kind of adjusted back and played more zone as they went on, and it's bothered them.
Well, I think man is always easier for a young quarterback to dissect.
Right.
Because it's one-on-one, and you can go throw to the, you know, either the open man or throw a guy open who's on the move. Zone is more difficult because now you have guys playing in space. And they're in areas. And so you have to understand based on, okay, what zone coverage are they in? Is it two? Is it quarters? Is it, you know, quarter half? Is it, you know, cover three? What are they playing? Because that'll dictate kind of where those zone drops are and where the holes are in each zone. It just takes more time for a young player to understand.
And they're all looking at the quarterback, too.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, JP.
They're all looking at the quarterback. They're all looking back at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of stuff in the middle of the field either in that offense. If you really look at it, there's a lot of plays run outside the numbers.
Pete, I'm like sensing a theme that you're not a big believer in Daryl Bevel's offense.
I don't like the scheme. Is it his or is it theirs or what is it? Is it a combination of all of them?
What would you describe their scheme as?
Bland. How would you describe it? It's not exciting. It's not up tempo. It's not fast. It's not doesn't dictate anything. How would you describe it?
I mean, I think it's more of a vertical passing game. That's the sense I get. I haven't sensed a lot of crossers, a lot of underneath, a lot of level routes where you're trying to get guys across the field. Maybe I'd have to go back and watch again.
I'll tell you what it is. I'll put it in terms you'll relate to. The Chiefs are like Fritos. There's a pizzazz to the taste to it. And the Jaguars offense is like somebody's homemade potatoes without salt on them, potato chips. They're not. They're bland. They don't taste like anything.
I like homemade potato chips.
Yeah, but you don't like them as much as those Fritos. Quit lying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, to your point, there's not a lot of pre-snap movement. There's not a lot.
And it's outside the numbers. You go here, you go here, you go here. And there's nothing in the middle. I think the middle of the field is, aside from a slant or two, is basically off limits.
I don't know about off limits, but we're not seeing a lot of.
Well, there must be a force field in there or something. If somebody runs in there, they.
Well, how much of that is. How much is that being dictated by the fact that they have no tight end? They don't have a pass threat tight end, especially with O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, O'Shaughnessy's banged up for a little bit now, high ankle. So he's out for a number of weeks, it sounds like.
Well, then Farrell dropped the ball, but he was, again, he ran his route. He was wide open. He flipped his head around on the one play, and then they don't use him in the middle anymore. Go in the middle. Let him start catching the ball. I'll be honest with you. Manhurts has been a disappointment as a blocker. I thought he'd be significantly better than what he is.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, he might not even be he hasn't blocked as well as the other guy was blocking before he got hurt. So I don't know. I just there's got to be a way to get people in the middle of the field, and whether you come to the bunch and pick and rub and sit down in the middle and
I love when you start designing plays. Bunch, pick, rub, get creative.
I could see sometimes, Tony, in a game where the offensive line is getting whipped, you're scared, so you got to maybe keep guys in and chip and help and everything else. But they weren't getting whipped yesterday. I actually thought that aside from a few run plays, because Cam Robinson dips his head in the run plays sometimes. He did it yesterday. But I thought aside from a few plays here and there and a pass protection, they were okay.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. What were James Robinson's numbers?
James Robinson yesterday, 11 carries, 47 yards, a 4.3 average, a long of 12.
I still just don't think 11's enough carries for him.
I don't either.
Now, the problem is they only have 50 plays. They're only on the field for 21 minutes. So, I'm sure Darrell Bevell will say, yeah, I agree. We need more plays. We need to convert more third downs. We need to catch the ball. We need to move the chain. So, I get that.
They run a screen yet?
I do not think they ran one yesterday.
I don't remember one in week one either.
Yeah. Lawrence talked about that week one. There were a couple screens.
Slipping the tight end, sneaking the tight end out on the leak play once in a while. Roll him left and bring the tight end back around the other. I'm just trying to get creative here. I'm trying to help him out. You know, whatever you want me to do. Two over here, one over here, two over here, and we'll just run little out routes, and you run a post corner, and we'll hope you get open. In that 8 yards of the field, you're working on the other side over there.
You are not a happy camper today.
He's just here to help, Tony.
I think they're wasting the quarterback. I'm going to be honest about it, okay? I think what they're doing, they're wasting the quarterback.
And when you say they, is it Urban? Is it Darrell Bevell? Schottenheimer? All of the above.
Put something in that's going to use him as to be able to do what he can do. And you mentioned it. I don't like the running quarterback, but get him running and moving on the run outside the pocket. Create things for him. But get it's just not creative.
Can you do that now in the middle of the season, though?
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard. Tony, how hard is it to put in new plays during the week?
Well, I mean, it's zone read. Everyone's doing the same thing.
Okay. Okay. So you don't have a pass plays. You can put something where they're running in the middle.
Your protection's in, so you're going to have it'll be either a 5, 6, or 7-man protection, and then you put the route combination together that, you know, works in the middle of the field.
Again, if the offensive line was a disaster yesterday, which I thought it might be, and it wasn't, then I could say, okay, you can blame the offensive line, you can't do so many things, but they weren't, and that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
All right, let's come back in a moment. We'll get into Monday Night Football when we return. The Lions and the Packers. Tony has the call. I don't know. There's no word from the booth yet if he's gone over the 2.5 brought pregame number. We'll get an update on that when we come back. This is Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network. Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. Final moments of the opening hour. Second hour coming up at the top of the hour, of course, and we will to your social media questions. We'll go around the National Football League as well. Busy schedule this week at Daly's Place. Santana tomorrow night. 3-11 on Wednesday night. Counting Crows Thursday. Coheed and Cambria Friday. Tickets available at dailysplace.com. Tony, can I get the couch for Santana or 3-11, please?
If I had a couch, I'd give it to you, JP.
I mean, you keep saying you don't, but every time I see a photo, Pete, of him at Daly's Place, he's at the couch.
What is the couch? Is that like somebody like a skybox at a football game or something?
Yeah, they have like these nice couches like right around the soundboard. Gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're right there. They're no real impeded view at all. Right by the soundboard. Sounds perfect. Easy in and out access. Wait service. All that. Yeah, it's very nice.
JP, you're JP Shadrick. You should be able to hook yourself up with something.
No, but I'm not Tony Baselli. I know that.
You know Baselli gets that couch whenever he goes, and he won't share.
There's no doubt.
Help him out, Tony.
It's okay.
I always help him out.
It's okay.
I have one.
We're working on it. Yeah.
JP, has he ever hooked you up with the couch?
I don't think we've ever been to a concert together, have we, Tony? No.
No, I don't think so. I've never been invited.
Well, I haven't either. So, you know, it's a two-way street, Pete. I mean, if you ever came up here, anymore, you could go.
Hey, by the way, there is a giant eye at the end of Baselli. It's a cell eye.
It's not true, Pete.
I love it. By the way, you know, we were talking about, you know, the pocket passing and letting Lawrence run a little bit. I got a tweet earlier from at Keto Jaguar. I know it's not social media time, but we're just going to go live here.
He said
At Keto Jaguar. Keto. Said the Jaguars impeded David Garrard's career the same way. They wouldn't let him use his athletic ability. David Prisco CBS was one of the talking heads insisting on him being a pocket passer. Is that true?
Read it again. Yeah.
The Jaguars impeded David Garrard's career in the same way. They wouldn't let him use his athletic ability.
And then Prisco. Impede his career?
And Prisco was talking about? Talking heads. I wasn't around. I don't know. Yeah.
Pete, you impeded David Garrard's career? That's ridiculous.
I guess so. No, look, I get what Tony's saying, but the game is meant to be played in the pocket. It always will be. It always has been. But you can get creative to get guys outside of it when you need to. Because you
Pete, what? Have you watched Russell Wilson play quarterback?
Yeah.
He's not in the operating from the pocket all the time.
He tries to
no,
get
but
there.
Ideally, that's what he's supposed to be doing.
Okay, but you mix it up. Aaron Rodgers, you watch him play quarterback? He's right. All over the place. You watch Patrick Mahomes?
No, I get it, Tony. I don't mind guys moving to throw, but designing runs and moving and not allowing a play to develop is not the way you play quarterback. Like, for example,
I'm not saying that, but having a couple zone reads a game to stress the defense and make them account for you, it changes how they play.
Until he gets blasted when he holds the ball. I mean, I'm okay getting him outside the pocket to throw. I don't mind that. And once in a while, there was a play yesterday where he could have kept the ball and he would have had about a 15-yard gain. So, okay, once in a while, I get it. But, again, this is a guy who should be built around throwing it and getting creative with his arm as much as anything.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we will coming up later, we'll pick the Monday night football game. Tony, if you want to give us an early look at it tonight.
He can't pick the game.
Oh, yeah, you're calling the game. You can't pick. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
it's against the rules. I apologize.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very important.
No, it's not because guys have done that in the past, and I'm like, you can pick the damn game.
It's in my contract.
That's garbage. You're a liar.
Well, I'll say this. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers got blasted by the Saints last week at TIAA Bank Field. And,
oh, they're terrible.
Yeah, that didn't look so good.
There was no energy either. Like, and Pete, I don't know, did you watch any of the Detroit-San Francisco game?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you. Maybe I watched first the Packers game, and it's like, just bleh. I mean, no energy. Like, what are you doing? Like, they didn't want to be there. You turn to that Lions tape, and they're flying around. Now, they're not very good, but
they're under man. Right.
Oh, they're flying around.
Right.
That was interesting.
The Packers game last week looked like a team that thought it was just going to go on the field and win the game. Would just show up, and we win. They were bad. It was bad.
Maybe they thought it was the fourth preseason game, and they weren't quite ready.
I mean, they weren't. They didn't look ready. And I didn't think the receivers won. I thought, and that wasn't a good secondary they were playing because they were dinged up in the secondary, the Saints. But Tony, Rodgers didn't play well. He held the ball.
No, it was terrible. They didn't run it. Didn't catch it. Didn't throw it.
Well, Aaron Jones had 5 carries.
Yeah, bad play
calling.
That's
a page out of Daryl Bevel's book.
Bad play calling.
A lot of Lions coaches with Jaguars ties, Tony. Of course, Mark Brunell's there as quarterback's coach. Todd Wash is up there now. I'm guessing you'll go down before the game and say what's up.
You got the quarterback. You got the quarterback coach.
Yeah. Mr. Brunell is going to be on the sidelines coaching up Jared Goff. Watch out. I'm picking the Lions. You heard it here. Upset.
Oh, wait, I thought
Lions.
You couldn't pick. Wait a minute. What are you doing?
You're picking the Lions to win the game outright?
Win the game outright. Shock of the world. The Packers are in trouble.
since the three corners that we'll be covering out there will be a third-year guy and two rookies and one an undrafted rookie. Yeah. Okay, Tony. I don't think so. You know, no Okuda. You know, he's not playing in this game. No. No.
Okuda's out with an Achilles. Not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're a third rounder. I got to find the flip so I can get his name right.
Yeah, but the kid from Melifonwu.
How you say it?
Melifonwu. That's his last name.
Melifonwu?
Melifonwu, sure about... I said.
Oh, Melifonwu.
See, here we go.
Yeah. Melifonwu. Try and say the other guy's, say the other corner's name. That one I never get right.
No. NFL, yeah, no.
There's probably a pronunciation guide right there, Tony, if you'd like to look at it.
I don't know. I have no flip card, nothing here right now. It's still early.
But their corners are to be suspect in this game, and that's a problem against Rodgers. Let's be honest about it. You're picking the Lions to win?
Yes.
You're just picking your buddy, Brunel. That's all you're doing.
I'm telling you, you shocked the world.
Hey, what was the other – hey, JP, what were the other Jaguar ties before you were talking about beside him?
Todd Wash is the defensive line coach. Okay. And Dom Capers is a senior defensive assistant as well.
That's right. Dom's there.
My old Texans teammate, Aaron Glenn, is the defense coordinator.
Yeah. I think Dan Campbell's going to do a good job there. I really do. He's got a lot of work in front of him. It's a matter of if they give him time, but he's going to do a good job there.
All right, guys. Let's
wait, we didn't talk about the kicker.
And we'll come back. We got plenty of show for that. That'll be the Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi Keeping It Real segment coming up in the second hour of Jaguars Happy Hour. We'll also get to your social media questions. And, yes, there are some about the kicker. We'll get some answers for that when we return as well. We heard Urban Meyer discuss Josh Lambeau today. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We are halfway home on a Monday afternoon after week two. The Jaguars lost to the Broncos 23-13, and this is Jaguars Happy Hour presented by Jet Home Loans on the Jaguars Digital Network.
There's a lot of fight in this team. There's 15 games left, and our goal is to have the strongest locker room that you can possibly have. I feel like it's extremely strong right now. Players are pissed. Players want to win. Players are sticking it together, and that's the best part of our team. The best part of our organization right now is what's in that locker room.
That is head coach Urban Meyer after the game yesterday here at TIAA Bank Field, and welcome in. It's hour two of Jaguars Happy Hour on a Monday afternoon after the week two loss to the Broncos. JP Shadrick with you, Pete Prisco down in South Florida. Tony Vaselli is at Lambeau Field in Green Bay for Monday Night Football. We'll get a little more to that game coming up in a bit. The 23-13 final, Broncos with a win. They're now 2-0. The Jaguars are 0-2. Jags had an opening drive touchdown, 11 plays, 83 yards, and a 25-yard touchdown pass from Lawrence to Marvin Jones Jr. The Jaguars' defense was on the field for nearly 39 minutes in the game. The offense shut down after that opening drive and couldn't get much of anything else, and in fact got nothing else done. They scored no more points the rest of the day. The Jags did have a 102-yard kickoff return touchdown in the fourth quarter, but they failed on the two-point try and could not make it a one-score game with only a few minutes to go, and the Broncos killed the clock, and that was all she wrote. The special teams issues, of course, we'll get to that coming up, the two missed field goals for Josh Lambeau. Those loomed large in the way the game was played early in the second half. And now the losing skid, guys, at 17 games. By the way, the league record is 26 since the merger, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 76 and 77. The all-time record is 29 by the Chicago Cardinals in the World War II era. That included the combined Steelers-Cardinals roster in 44 due to players and military service. So we're not going to really count that one. The one that counts as 26. And let's cut this thing off. They said they're going to break that rock. They're not going to do that. That's what Urban Meyer said today, guys. So break the losing skid. That's priority number one.
I'm going to make a lock.
Oh, God, this should be good.
Do it.
I will lock right now for all Jaguar fans. We will not break the all-time losing streak. We will win.
It's so good you're echoing. I hear it twice.
Yeah, why are we echoing right now?
I don't know. It's a good one. Either way, it's 17 now. It's 26.
Go through the games.
All right. Let's do it. I'll take
let's
a look.
See what, he said they won't break the streak.
I mean,
go through the games.
You know, because you said in an earlier show that, you know, they were going to win a bunch of games this year. So, Cardinals this week at home.
No.
At Cincinnati Thursday night.
Maybe, but probably no.
Home against the Titans.
But wait, that takes us to 18, 19. Titans at home, no. 20.
London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium against the Dolphins.
No.
Bye week. At Seattle.
No.
Home against the Bills.
No.
At the Colts.
No.
Home against the Niners.
No. But now you're at the record, right?
Home against the Falcons.
Maybe. That's the one. But would that take him to the record?
26 would tie the Falcons game if they lost that, and all the other ones would tie the record of 26. So,
and then when did
at the Rams after that?
And when did the Texans come to town? Way later, right?
Yeah, they're December 19th.
So they better beat the Falcons, or they're going to have the longest record.
No, they will win a game. They will not be 0-6.
You're going to win one of these first in the first stretch here. I mean, you know, you can only get better, right? I mean,
they're going to win. They're going to win one of the next four minimum.
Okay, so they're not. Are they beating the Cardinals this week?
I'm not picking them today.
He knows that. Okay, Cincinnati, they'd have a chance. I don't think they'll win it, but they'll have
one.
A chance.
There's one.
So you said one of the next six? Is that what you said?
No, one of the next four. The next four in the six-game stretch.
Then what's the one after that one? The Titans
at home. Tennessee at home.
They can win that.
Zero.
And nobody comes into London and gets the Jags, so the Dolphins are going down.
And they can beat the Dolphins. They will win one of those three games. Cincinnati, Titans, Dolphins. They'll win one of those three.
I told you. Hashtag 0-17 is a possibility. I think they'll win a couple games, too. I just don't know where they're going to happen.
I just locked it. It's impossible to happen now.
It's a lock.
What if it did happen?
What do you mean?
I don't want to even think about it. It gives me a headache.
I don't wish 1-15 on my worst enemy after going through that last year.
Well, you know what's to be weird about it is it'll be the longest streak without going over.
Why are we talking about this? It's not going to happen. There's no chance.
Right.
Oh, there's a chance.
There's a chance
there's
until
not.
There's not a chance. But
I locked it. If I lock it, there's no chance.
Why is it you've done so well with your other locks over the years?
I grayed out 97%.
11-7 before the season, or 11-6 before the season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. 11 wins.
Yeah, I did not. That was a bit.
What was your real pick? 5 wins?
4-6.
Mine was 5, right? I'd like to amend mine down.
Go ahead, amend it.
Yeah, amend it.
Two.
Your glass is half empty, Pete. Like, have some faith, man. It's early. It's week 3.
I will lock. For anyone who wants a lock bet, the Windward 2. That's a lock. That's the easiest bet I've ever made. And I've never made a bet
other than the fact that you can't pick the games that they're going to win.
Yeah, I can. Cincinnati's a dog fight.
I thought so too.
Dolphins.
Miami's a dog fight.
Dolphins, yeah, that's right. Colts, never know.
Colts are not that good.
Not that good. Being bad are two different things.
Falcons, come on.
The Falcons were 28-25 in the fourth quarter with Tampa Bay yesterday. All of a sudden, there was a ball game.
New York Jets, come on, at the Jets.
There's one they can get.
There's a third.
Colts at home, come on. They never come in here and win.
They'll win two games. Maybe three.
That's like 5 or 6
crazy.
We just pointed out right there. I mean, come on.
You're crazy, Pete. You know better.
Is there? Let's put it this way. Is there an upset on the horizon?
Yeah, and but
like.
If they play better
they can't
football,
beat the Niners, they won't beat the
Falcons. You heard it here first. Upset special.
then go to Seattle and beat the Seahawks.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Wow. You want to lock that one too, Tony?
Well, the Titans beat him yesterday.
I want to lock it. Lock it.
Oh, he's locking it. Oh, my gosh. He locked the Jaguars beating the Seahawks in Seattle. That's incredible.
Yeah, I can't lock that. That loses all. Yeah,
it's already been locked. You can't unlock a lock.
Right. Hey, you would have to admit, though, that they have a better chance to go 0-for than they do to win 5 now.
No,
of course. Oh, yes. Oh,
well,
yes.
Pete, I think that's you easy. Want them to go 0-for it.
No. Like. Well, they get a better draft pick. But no. Then they can get Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, pass rusher.
He's hurt right now, isn't he?
Yeah.
We're not talking about the draft yet. No. No. It's week 3. What are you doing, Pete?
You trying to find a pass rusher to go with
Josh
Allen. You
nearly got Tony to go
Allen.
There. You nearly got him to go there. We're not doing that today.
Okay, can we – let's address this, though. Okay, the offensive line wasn't bad yesterday. But, Tony, the Kansas City has 5 entirely new guys, right?
Schwartz gone, too?
All 5 new guys, 5 new starters. Okay, three of them are first-year starters.
Okay.
So – didn't a part of the Jaguars think about flipping some of those guys out?
Pete, I mean, nothing against any of the guys, but I would have. It's the same group. Pete, how about this? It's the exact same top 8 guys as last year. Not just the star 5 starters. It's the exact same guys. And it's the same starters, and it is the same 6 of 8 guys, maybe 7 of 8 guys, from 2019.
Correct.
Yep.
Oh,
by the way, there was news today. Walker Little is one of the new guys, and he was drafted this year. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list just a little while ago today.
That's going to derail his quest to the Hall of Fame by the end of the year. Since everybody had him in there in training camp.
But he hasn't been active.
I had a little conversation with our buddy Mark Long about that.
Did you?
Oh, how'd that go?
I might have taken a couple shots at him in the press box.
Mark can take it, though. He can give it. He can take it.
Yeah,
he can give it. He can take it.
What'd you tell him?
At the rate they were going, I thought Walker Little would get in before Bacelli.
He might. You never know, Pete. You never know.
Oh, wow. Wouldn't that be something? So, I mean, but the line didn't play that poorly yesterday overall. I think we talked about that earlier.
It did not. And I thought when Can went out, I thought Bartsch did an okay job, too, when he was in there.
Yeah.
Not great. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't a disaster, is what I'm saying, Tony. It wasn't bad.
No, I agree with that. I got to watch the tape, though, before I make any judgment.
When you watch the tape, though, you tell me, Cam Robinson ducks his head on run plays sometimes. He's bad. He whiffs.
I didn't see it. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, because I watched the tape today. He dug his head.
All right, I'll watch it. I'll report back next week.
You know, the Broncos were actually doing something weird where they kind of let those wide 9 rushers come in a little late or something, it looked like, didn't it? What were they doing?
Oh, the slow rush off the edge?
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably get tired of getting hit by that tight end. They let him clear and then go.
Did you think Von Miller was the same Von Miller?
No. Still good, but not the same.
Not the same. And Chubb got hurt again.
Yeah, Chubb hurt.
He's getting up there in age.
That ankle. Yeah, it's what, a year 11 for Vaughn? Is that right? Is it that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was the first game that they were scheduled to play, what, for like 3 years or something? Because one was hurt.
Yeah.
But
I don't think they played since 18, end of 18.
Yeah.
That's a while ago. By the way, some injury updates from head coach Urban Meyer today. James O'Shaughnessy, the tight end, will be out in multiple weeks with a high ankle issue. Laviska Shenault, Urban said, should play this week. Had a shoulder issue, and he'll see some playing time. At least that's what the head coach thinks. C.J. Henderson, a mild groin injury. They'll wait and see with him. And then A.J. Can with a hamstring injury, should play, according to head coach Urban Meyer, Tony.
The C.J. Henderson one worries me because You know, this is week or year two. And he had nicks, and he had a bunch of nicks last year, couldn't stay on the field. And I think that was a little bit of the book on him coming out of Florida too, wasn't it, Pete? Just, you know, availability, health, like playing through some – and I'm not saying it's a nick or a bruise or anything like that. I don't know. Only he knows. But I think it has to be a little concerning.
Well, isn't it weird how some guys – always end up being nicked and injured and whatever. I mean, like, okay, let's just go through the quarterback injuries yesterday in the NFL.
Oh.
Carson Wentz has a history of being injured. He got injured again.
He hurt both ankles somehow, by the way.
Tua has a history of being injured. He got injured again. Different injury. He hurt his rib. Tyrod Taylor has a history of being injured. He got injured again. Dalvin Cook got dinged. He has a history of being injured.
Yeah, he came back.
I know, but it's just weird how some guys have injury issues. Baselli's going to fall asleep on us on the camera today. I have a feeling. I can see you dozing off.
What are you talking about?
It's all those potato chips. His stomach is full. He's tired now.
I got a lot of Fritos in me, Pete.
JP, during the break, we figured it out. Remember, Tony said he wanted to go on keto. He said, I need to lose some. I said, you go to Dr. HFVPPDBSLO, whatever he did. And I asked him, I said, how many calories were you eating on that diet a day? And he said 600 a day.
600 to 700.
And I said, you had 600 in those two bags of Fritos. And he looked, he said 640.
Wow. How times change.
That's my appetizer before the bratwurst.
Yeah. The over-under is still set at 2.5. Vegas has not moved
not
the line
the
on
bratwurst.
That yet. Yeah, 2.5 is the number, Pete.
I guarantee you I will not have more than 2 bratwursts.
I'm taking the over. Let's come back in a moment. We'll get into special teams. Josh Lambeau missed a couple field goals. Jaguars had a kickoff return touchdown as well. That's all coming up. It's Keeping It Real, presented by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, right after this. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
We talked to Josh today. In 17, 18, 19, you go back, and I know that was recent history, but he's one of the best in the NFL. And the thing I told him is that since I got here in February, since our staff got here, he's as hardworking guy as any guy on the team. So I have confidence he's going to work through this. I know the GM and personnel department's job is to see what's out there and all that. I just I'm convinced this guy can come through it. I see the way he works. I see the way he hits it. And I've stuck with kickers before, and it's been great dividends. So as of now, we're going to stick with him.
That's head coach Urban Meyer today discussing the status of Josh Lambeau, Jaguars kicker. And welcome back to Jaguars Happy Hour. Time now for Keeping It Real, presented by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Open up a winner today. Real Ingredients, award-winning wine by Robert Mondavi. And our topic today is special teams. Well, Lambeau missed a couple field goals yesterday, one from 52, another from 48, and he is now 0 for 3 for the season in field goals. Two of those are from 50 or longer. How concerned are you with this kicking situation, Pete?
Same thing like we talked about the other day.
I would bring in a new kicker. I'd bring in, there's a million of them out there. And we've seen this play out before in history where a guy goes to another team and he's good for a while and then it goes bad. Or the flip side is you let a guy go. Like Jason Myers has become a pretty good kicker. They let him go. He didn't kick in Jacksonville. Matt Gay was let go by the Bucs, and now he's become a good kicker with the Rams. You can find kickers, and when they go bad, it really goes bad. So that's a concern to me.
Tony, why don't you ask the folks in the booth? Okay, Tony's out for a moment. But we'll get Tony back when things calm down in Green Bay. Yeah, it's not ideal because if he makes both field goals yesterday, Pete, obviously, then it's a different feeling game early in that third quarter. And, you know, you play it differently as an offense at that point. Maybe you don't have to push it down the field. And, Trevor's not having to throw those deep balls later in the game.
Yeah, and the other thing is too is he wasn't. This is a guy who. When was the last time he was really a good kicker?
19.
Right, it's been a while.
Yeah, but so two things. One, you only replace him if there's someone better out there. So
yeah, but there's always young kickers out there that end up being good, Tony.
Pete, we saw it last year. We went through 5, and none of them could do it.
Six. We went through six.
Six. But I'll say this. forget about me or Pete being concerned. If you're Josh Lambeau, you're being concerned. Because as soon as the coach says, whenever a coach in the history of the NFL says, I have confidence in my kicker, I'm going with him, that means the change is coming. I mean, like, you don't want to be talked about in that manner. If you're
is
Josh
there
Lambeau.
A kicker on their practice squad right now?
Not currently, no. There is not.
There should be.
There is not.
Well, there's not.
Well, there should be in case of what happens if they tested positive for COVID.
They go sign
one. Go sign one. It's different than last year because if they're vaccinated, Pete, they can come right in. Last year,
I know, but still, you should have one on the. I would have one. Like every year, I bring two to camp and keep one on my team and one on the practice squad.
Well, so you would use every year, even when there's only seven.
Unless
guys
it's
on
Justin,
practice
unless
squad?
It's Justin Tucker.
Even when there was only seven guys in the practice squad.
I'm talking about now.
Okay, now it's different. That's not every year. That's every year that COVID's been around.
Correct.
I bring in two every year.
No, I bring in two every year, though.
Well, they had to compete. They had to.
They let Rosas go, and Rosas is with the Saints now.
Correct.
So,
but there's a college kid. There's a million college kickers out there. Go find them.
They're in college. You're not allowed to bring them in.
When they come out, Tony, there's a million of them. You don't think there's any way, shape, or form that Lambeau has gone bad and he ain't getting out from underneath him?
No, I think there is. I'm just saying, the bigger concern is when the head coach is talking about you at a press conference and having to reiterate that he has confidence and that you are, quote, his guy, that's when you're not.
One more miss and he isn't his guy. Let's be real.
That's my point. That's my point. Go miss a couple this week. It'll be over.
All I'll say is I remember during training camp when we were out there watching practice that Urban is literally right off the holder's hip during field goals and stands there right at the snap, and he's right there in the middle of the field goal snap.
Who was their special teams coach last year?
Last year was
Joe DeCamillis.
Yeah, Joe D.
He's one of the best special teams coaches in the league, is he not?
Yeah, exactly.
Why the hell did he keep him?
You gotta ask Urban that. He's at the Rams now with Sean McVay.
Right, I get it, but I'm saying Joe D would have been a wise move. I know Joe liked living in Jacksonville. Would have been smart to keep him.
He didn't. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I don't know. I just think I think there's special teams.
So you're saying Lambeau's been bad because Joe D left.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But the special team. Okay, they had a return. I get it. That was a nice.
And the punter's been great.
Yeah, well, the punter's great. Period. He's been great.
102 yard return for a touchdown yesterday.
It was a nice return.
What have they not been doing good on special teams besides Lambeau making kicks?
Well, that's one of them.
Okay, I don't think that's coach created. I don't think, like, unless Joe is the Lambeau whisperer.
Okay, but who's the better special teams coach in the NFL? Joe DeCamillis and Nick Sorensen.
Listen, I'm going with my guy. I'm going with the Jags, Nick Sorensen. You know what? Jody, get out of here. Go back to LA.
And I know, in fairness to Nick, Nick wasn't supposed to be the special teams coach.
That's right.
Well, first, Nick, I mean, it's like, that's not fair to even compare Nick to Joe D. Nick's a younger coach. He's a younger coach.
I get it, but he wasn't even coaching special teams the last couple years.
And he was the assistant at the start of this season, too, remember? And just got bumped up. So, there you go. That is Keeping It Real, presented by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Open up a winner today. Real Ingredients, award-winning wine by Robert Mondavi. We're back with social media questions, and we've got some today. That's for sure after a Jaguars loss to the Denver Broncos. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network. Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on a Thursday at – Thursday. No, it's not. It's Monday. My name's J.P. Shadrick. Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli alongside. We have social media questions each Monday. We put out the bat signal, and here's the best we've come up with today. Question number one.
Oh, yeah. There's a gold
at @MR_PW3. At what point do we start looking at Bevel in the offensive scheme? All routes go to the sidelines. Nothing is ever over the middle. Chark has never moved around or in the slot. LaVisca only does slants and outs. No good check down options. What is this boomer bust offense is the question. And, Pete, I think you wrote this in your other handle on Twitter.
Well, I mean, the guy's not wrong. He's a real observer of the game. He's picked up on it easily. And I've said all I need to say on it. I'd love to hear what Tony has to say about it. And don't hold back, Tony.
Don't hold back. Production's not there. I'm not going to put it all on Darryl Bevel. And I've said it earlier. I think they should run the quarterback a little bit more on some design read options. I think they should use his athletic ability, let him get into the flow of the game. I haven't seen a ton of creativity out of the passing game, but you know how much of that is Darryl Bevel and how much is that just trying to take care of the rookie? I mean, that's a conversation. You know, so I'm not going to – it's two games in. I'm not killing Darryl Bevel at this point.
Well, if let me ask you this, though. If you're creative in a passing game, doesn't that help the rookie?
Well, you have to get everyone lined up. You have to do the motion.
You've only been in training camp since July. I mean, my gosh.
Telling you.
Had all the reps with the starters, he could have put more stuff in.
Okay, here we go again.
Could that be it?
Here we go again. Question number two on Jaguars Happy Hour on this Monday at Duval_43. We overestimated this receiver group. They aren't winning often enough. They have no speed in the slot or on outside. They don't play fast at all. What can be done this early to help Trevor the rest of the way? Hashtag it's worse. Hashtag Pete for GM. Hashtag Duval.
Who hyped these wide receivers? Because I don't remember anyone on this show overhyping anyone.
See, I remember the talk in training camp. The training camp talk was like, okay, the top three.
That's not true. We said it all along.
I'm not saying on this show. I'm saying in general.
Pete and I talked about that. Marvin Jones was a nice number two receiver at the Lions. He's a professional receiver. DJ Chark had a ton to prove. And LaVisca Chenault was a slot guy that, you know, was banged up last year.
And he's slow.
Well, Pete added the slow part. I was trying to be nicer. But, yes, Pete did say that.
I mean, by NFL receiver standards, he's slow.
You know the one that surprised me, Pete, that DJ's not having a better year this year?
I'm telling you, he looks at times like he's floating out there. And he did last year, too. I mean, understandably, last year because he was frustrated with the quarterback, but – I get a sense that they're frustrated with the offense. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it looks like to me.
I remember in the offseason, right after Urban came in, they had the conversation, and they kind of challenged him to put on some muscle, and he did it. He responded, 7, 8, 9 more pounds of muscle for DJ, and got to play bigger, he said, you know, and play stronger as a receiver. That was the conversation.
Because he's got to be able to handle all that traffic in the middle of the field that he never sees. I mean, hey,
you're
DJ,
terrible.
you know what DJ's doing right now? DJ's seeing a lot of money going out the window.
Contract year.
Right. If I'm DJ, I either do one of two things. You pick it up or, you know, you start griping, one or the other. Because this is a money year for him, and it's going out the window. He can't get paid. You can't pay him now. Based on two games right now, you cannot pay DJ Chark. Cannot.
I can't disagree.
And 2 years ago, he looked like he was on the verge of being a really good receiver, like almost, you know, one of the better 10, 15 in the league, and he's not. He's not that now. And another thing, too, he doesn't play to his speed. I get criticized by fans when I say they're not fast. They go, well, DJ, he timed it. What did he time at the combine? 4.4 or whatever?
He
doesn't play to that. For whatever reason, I don't know why.
By the way, DJ Chark, 16 targets, 4 catches, 105, 1 touchdown for the season, 2 games.
16 targets, 4 catches, that's crazy.
4-1 yesterday.
That's a 25%.
Remember,
conversion.
They threw downfield and got a pass interference another time to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one long shot, that he was over his head, kind of, and then he missed him on the – he was open on the post corner route and he missed him. And then they ran the route again and he missed him. And then the next time he wasn't open. So, again, I think he's getting frustrated. That's just me.
Oh, frustrated who?
Who knows? When you watch the tape, you go watch him closely and you tell me if he doesn't or he's not fast, one or the other.
Well, I don't know.
Question number three on Jaguars Happy Hour on this Monday afternoon at Jags 1185. There's a lot of long questions today. Can we look at changing the name of the show? Love you guys. Longtime listener of both. And you two together are radio gold, but we've lost 17 straight with no end in sight. Nothing happy about that. Can we take a page out of Bucky Brooks and the Huddle Up podcast and take to a poll for a new name? Now, he's talking about the two of you. It must be me and Pete he's talking about here, right, Pete?
That's what I was going to say. There is three of us, right? JP, they left you out.
I'm sorry, you're out of this one, Tony.
JP, you know the truth. You know who they are talking about. He doesn't care if you do the show. Hey, you can put anyone in there. You can be just a robot. Just say hi. Here's the agenda. Go Pete. Go Tony. So
the robot might actually get the day of the week right. I didn't get that right coming back.
Should we change it to the Pete and Tony show? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. The Tony and Pete show.
Oh no. You get second billing.
No, you're crazy.
You might be up in the pride or whatever, but you still get second billing.
There's only one star here, Pete. And it's not you.
You're a star football player. I'm the star media member. Stop it.
No, that's not what I.
You are a media member.
And I'm a star.
Just ask him. He'll tell you. Question number four on Jaguars Happy Hour tonight at Jags Knowles Magic. Oh, wow. Is it too soon to say that trading Sidney Jones IV to the Seahawks for a sixth-round pick was a huge mistake? I was saying, oh, wow, to the emailer's handle here, Jags Knowles Magic. That's a rough go.
Yeah, he's tormenting himself.
Yeah. Too early to say this.
I would have kept him. I don't know. I would have kept him.
I mean, huge mistake. Huge mistakes mean
it's not a huge mistake.
Sidney Jones, would you have an extra win if he was on the roster right now?
No. But he wasn't a bad player, though.
I don't disagree. Is he the future, though?
No.
So they did the right thing getting the pick when they did, right?
Because it's a six-rounder. Who cares? After the quarterback this year, this year's draft is lined up so well.
you're such a bad person.
Go through the draft.
The first round pick
isn't playing. The second round pick, go ahead, he's not playing. Third round pick, not playing.
Who was the third round pick?
Cisco, yeah.
Yeah, not playing. Yeah. If the fourth round defensive tackle hadn't even been, he wasn't active yesterday.
He hasn't been active yet.
Yeah. The fifth round defensive end hasn't been active yet.
Nope.
And then the sixth round pick is who is that? That's I'm trying to think off the top of my head. But so the draft that looks so promising isn't.
They gotta get out there and play.
Didn't you think three or four of those guys would be starting?
Let me think. I thought Trevor would start. I thought three of the first four picks would start.
Yeah. And there's one.
To wrap up the draft class, Luke
Fuego. I'd probably say four of the five would have started them in the first five picks.
Luke Farrell, the tight end, was that sixth rounder, Pete. And then Jalen Camp was the wide receiver from Georgia Tech at the end.
And Luke Farrell looks like he has some talent. And maybe he's going to get an opportunity to show it now.
But I never really thought about it until you brought it up, Pete. I mean, that's an excellent point. Only Trevor is out there consistently from this draft class. Let's wrap it up with a sixth question today.
Uh-oh, dangerous.
The final one at Angela77174330. Tony/Pete, how do we fix this?
Patience. Well, it's the only thing.
I was going to say, there's no quick fix. Like, there's no, like, this morning on Dan and Jeff's show, they were wringing their hands. Like, what do we, like, there's no fix. There's no, like, magic. I mean, the one thing I agree with Urban is, like, all you can do is go work. You know, just go to work, go practice, try to get your young players better.
But here's the problem.
There's no quick fix.
Here's the problem. This is where the fans get angry. I can understand it. You had all that cap room, and you had the number one overall pick and draft picks. And are they better?
Are they better than last year? Yes. You don't think so?
I mean, yeah, because you have Trevor Lawrence, so yes. But aside from him, are they better? Probably better.
But I mean,
okay, but let's go. The offensive line's exactly the same.
Okay.
Receivers are, except for Marvin Jones.
But I think Marvin Jones that much better than what's his name?
Keelan Cole. Oh, is he?
I mean, I think he's a little better, but
James Robinson. He's a little better. He's not as fast as Keelan Cole.
No.
James Robinson is Manhurts that has he not been worth the money?
I'm not saying he's not worth the money, but he's not better than Eifert.
And they should have kept Josh Oliver in hindsight.
Is he playing for Baltimore?
He almost got a touchdown last night. Yeah.
Like, he's on the field. I was on the plane flying up to Green Bay.
Yeah,
he's
gets like on the playing. Field. Yeah. I don't know what his snap count was last night, but he gets on the field. He had a great preseason.
He had a catch last night, 1 for 9 yards.
Yeah.
How many catches did the tight ends have after O'Shaughnessy left yesterday?
Yeah, 0 is my guess on that one. Unless Farrell got one.
And that's what Josh Oliver was going to be.
Farrell
was going to be a pass-catching tight end.
To this day, I don't understand why you just didn't, like, see what he was during camp. There's certain things, and I'm sure I do things in my life, Pete, that people look at and like, what the hell are you thinking?
Yeah,
Which I'm sure there are. I don't see them because I'm blind to them. But there's certain things we do sometimes as an organization, and not just us, but like a GM or a coach on the league. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, why are you actually, like, what was like the genesis behind that decision?
It's and defensively, I'll say their defensive line is better than a year ago.
Oh, much.
Yeah.
Kind of close.
Are they better at the corner?
Yeah. I think Shaquille Griffin's better than Sidney Jones.
Jenkins is better than what they had last year.
Jenkins is better. They're better on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're better on defense.
Josh Oliver played 12 of the 76 snaps last night, so 16% for the Baltimore Ravens in that game.
How many targets did he have?
He had one target, one catch, 9 yards.
Okay.
Is that his only catch of the year?
Yes, it is. So let's come back. That'll do it for our social questions today. Thanks for the submissions on social media. We appreciate it. We will get to them again next week. We're back in a moment with a look around the National Football League, and we'll pick Monday Night Football. Tony is there at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, and this is Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network. Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on a Monday afternoon. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Baselli and Pete Prisco. The day after a Jaguars loss in Week 2, 23-13 to the Denver Broncos. The Jaguars are 0-2. They've now dropped 17 consecutive games. They'll try to snap it this coming week against the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray red hot coming in to TIAA Bank Field next week. Let's go around the National Football League and take a look at some of the games yesterday, and the Panthers all over the Saints, 26-7. A bunch of offensive coaches out for the Saints yesterday, Pete, in that loss.
Well, it looked like a bunch of offensive players were out for the Saints, too. They were so bad on offense. And that Carolina defense is one to keep an eye on. I mean, Derek Brown in the middle is playing up to where he was. Brian Hurts can rush the passer. Chin's a good player. They added Horn on the corner. That's a big young defense. And Sam Darnold, the USC boy, is playing well, Tony.
I thought Sam Darnold couldn't play quarterback. Maybe it was he was at the Jets and didn't have a coach who knew what he was doing. I've always been a Sam Darnold believer. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. He's proven it so far. Early returns in Carolina, they chose the right guy.
Are you doing their game Thursday night against the Texans?
No, I'm not doing this Thursday night.
Oh, okay, because that's another winnable game for them this week. They could be 3-0.
Well, they'll win that game because no Tyrod Taylor.
That's right.
Davis Mills is good. Is a decent player, though. I'm telling you, he's going to be a good player.
You want to, like, you're picking?
You want to lock that?
You want to lock it, Pete? You want to lock the Texans? Then quiet. Zip it.
I might take them, though. We'll see.
I didn't think so. No. Bears over the
Bengals. I hope you do. You're terrible.
Bears beat the Bengals 20-17. Andy Dalton hurt. Justin Fields time.
Be careful what you wish for. Because he went in there and threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my life. And it almost allowed the Bengals to get back into the game. It was a pick six. It was so bad. But again, he's not preparing to play as a starter. Now he will be because Andy Dalton's probably going to be gone for a little while. So we'll see what he has. He looked okay. It was a bad throw, though.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun to watch. I mean, if you're the Bears, why don't you? I mean, let's go. Move on. I mean, are you really going to do anything this year?
Well, they did. They did play well on defense on Sunday.
All right.
I mean, yeah, they
pick it up and make the playoffs?
No.
Exactly.
Just not locking the kid. That either. Not locking
I'm a believer in playing the kid. You know that.
The Browns over the Texans 31-21. As you mentioned, Tyrod Taylor with a hamstring injury. Baker Mayfield was injured in the game but stayed in. The Browns rallied to win.
Yeah, before Tyrod got hurt, Pete, I mean, Texans
14-14.
Good. Yeah,
it was 14-14. And they were in the game. And then Mills came in and threw an interception, but then he drove him back in and got it within 24-21 in the fourth quarter. And then the Browns scored late and ended up winning the game by 10. But it was a lot. That game was closer than you thought it was. They lost Landry, by the way, the Browns. He had an MCL.
Yeah, MCL, a couple weeks.
Still, it could be 2-4.
Wow.
Yeah, Odell's still trying to get back out there, too.
Right.
The Los Angeles Rams knocked off the Indianapolis Colts 27-24. Carson Wentz has two sprained ankles somehow, Pete.
It's amazing. Again, a guy who's hurt all the time somehow seems to find a way to get hurt. It just happens in this league. I mean, and both ankles.
How does that happen?
And if he's not playing, they play the Titans this week, and that means that you'd play Jacob Eason would be your quarterback.
He didn't look all that hot when he went in there for a little bit.
No, he did not.
The Colts could be in big trouble. The
division stinks. Let's be honest.
The Jags might sweep the Colts. I'm just saying right now.
Oh. You gonna lock that?
No, not ready to lock.
You gotta admit the division's terrible.
The division that was terrible. The Titans will win the division. They will win at least one playoff game, and they might go to the AFC Championship game.
No, not with that defense.
I'm just telling you. You run the ball in January. Crazy stuff happens.
Bills over the Dolphins, 35-0. Tua with an injury to his ribs.
And Jacoby Brissett was awful when he went in there. But it didn't matter. If Tua was in the game, the Bills were winning that game no matter what. They came in there. They knew they had to win the game. Played like it. Jumped on them 14-0. Tua went out. It didn't matter. It did not matter.
Pete, I have not seen one snap, so this is an honest question, not making any judgment at all. Can Tua play?
Don't know.
Is he a franchise guy?
This is the year to find out. Every time he throws the ball, I go, they could have had Justin Herbert. They could have had Justin Herbert. By the way, their offensive line, awful yesterday.
Yeah.
And your USC Trojan was one of the worst. Did you think he was going to be good, Austin Jackson?
Yeah, I thought he'd be a solid player.
I did too. No, terrible.
That's early. Don't say he's terrible.
Well, he was terrible yesterday, I'm saying.
Okay, that doesn't mean he's terrible because he had a bad game.
Wait, he wasn't great last year either.
You're being a little harsh on the kid.
You know, yeah, he
get paid to play a game.
You are harsh on everybody. Speaking of awful yesterday, Zach Wilson had four interceptions in the game for the Jets.
Ooh.
The Patriots 25, Jets 6.
He was bad. That was a vintage Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback. He looked lost at times. He was not good at all. And plus, he was playing without his left tackle. That's a problem.
I love when afterwards the New York media asking him if he's seen ghosts.
Why well, he wasn't seeing guys in the other uniforms is what he wasn't seeing.
The old Sam Darnold line. Yeah.
I just love that. The New York media, leave it to them.
Unbelievable. The 49ers over the Eagles, 17-11, an odd score, but the Niners got it done. They're 2-0.
And the Eagles dominated that game in the first half, just dominated it. And they were on the 2-yard line, fourth down, up 3-0 late in the half, and they ran a trick play. And when they ran the trick play, it was incomplete. San Francisco took the ball, went right down the field, and scored 7-3 at the half. And that was the end of it. They should have put that. You know how good teams, if you don't put them away early, you're not going to get them? Well, that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raiders over the Steelers 26-17 yesterday. And a car threw a couple touchdown passes, 382 yards through the air for the Raiders, who are now 2-0.
Derek Carr would be the MVP right now.
Raiders are good, Pete.
We'll see. But that was a good win. I give him a lot of credit.
Why do you say we'll see? You're not a buyer.
You think
yet?
The second? I don't know if the secondary will hold up. I mean, they haven't played a passer yet. They played Lamar Jackson, and they played Roethlisberger, who couldn't throw the ball down the field yesterday. So we'll see if they play. When they play Mahomes, are they going to hold up? Doubt it.
They're a much better team than they were last year.
Correct.
Defensively, at least.
Correct.
Kyler Murray.
That's a low bar, seeing that they were 32nd.
Kyler Murray threw for 400 yesterday, 3 touchdowns. He ran for another one, threw 2 picks, and the Vikings missed a field goal with no time left, and the Cardinals win 34-33.
That was a great game, but I was surprised at how bad the defense was for Arizona. They were so good the week before and then so bad in this one. It was weird.
What? Any reason? I mean, what was your takeaway from it?
They got pushed around. They ran. Dalvin Cook had 96 yards in the first half. They ran all over them. They couldn't stop the run.
Buccaneers put 48 on the board. 5 touchdown passes from Tom Brady, 48-25 over the Falcons, the beatdown.
Explain to me, Pete, how you get, the older you get, the better you get. I don't understand this. This is like the only person in the history of mankind that is getting better as he gets older.
Well, he's not eating Fritos. He's eating avocado ice cream. That's the biggest difference. I mean,
where do I get avocado ice cream?
Not in Green Bay.
He's on pace to throw more touchdown passes in his 40s already than he did in his 20s.
That's not normal.
No,
it's not. The Dallas Cowboys.
Hold on, JP. He's 43 this year, right, Pete?
44.
Remember when he was like 38 and he said he was going to play into his mid to late 40s and everyone laughed at him?
Yeah, well, he's now talking about playing in his 50s.
He should. He's going to win a Super Bowl again this year.
Yeah. The way they're playing right now, why would
you got him? Yeah, that's hard. Their defense hasn't played well in 2 games, though.
When you score that many points, you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He's on pace for 76 touchdown passes this year.
Wow. League record. Cowboys got a 56-yard field goal at the final gun to knock off the Chargers 20-17.
And you know what? Cowboys did nothing in the second half and somehow had one drive and went down and made the field goal. The Chargers were sloppy. Every time they have a big play, it was a penalty or something going on. So they just didn't play very well. It was a Cowboys home game, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of Dallas stars.
More than half was Cowboy fans.
Wow. So you're saying Justin Herbert was going silent count at home?
It was amazing. He was having trouble. Let's put it that way.
The Titans had a huge second half. Derrick Henry on the road. Big win. Titans 33, Seahawks 30.
And that game, they had a touchdown. The Titans are tough. They've taken on the personality of their coach. when they had a touchdown to Julio Jones to cut it to six in the second quarter, and it was a clear touchdown, and they reviewed it, and they overturned it. You could have folded up. They didn't fold up. They rallied. And you know how they rallied? They ran the ball, Tony. You would have loved it. They gave the ball to Henry, and he popped the big one, got him back in the game. They're a tough physical team. They have a good mentality.
Well, that's what I mean, that's what you do when you need to make something happen. Give it to your best player. I mean, Derrick Henry's the best player by far, and he's an amazing guy. I mean, he has led the league in rushing three straight years. He might do it a fourth.
He might.
And he looked – it was funny because up until that, even last week against the – and LaJuan didn't play, and he was bad last week, but up until that point
– Why did LaJuan not play this week?
Because he hurt it. He dinged up his knee in warm-ups.
There you have it. And finally, speaking of tough guys, Lamar Jackson took over the game late for the Ravens. They overtook the Chiefs 36-35. What a game that was last night.
It was fantastic. It was a great game. Up and down the field, one moving in on running the ball with the zone read, the other one throwing it around. You know, everybody made a big deal out of the fumble late, but Kansas City had the ball in the fourth quarter up 11, and Mahomes threw a bad interception. They're going to go put that game away through a bad interception.
All right, guys, it is time for Monday Night Football, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, the home opener for the Green Bay Packers. They were blown out by the Saints in week one in Jacksonville. They'll entertain Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions, including Mark Brunell. They lost their opener against the 49ers last week. Somebody's O's got to go unless they tie. Who you got? Quickly.
I got the Green Bay Packers in a blowout, and Tony's already locked it. He's got the Lions.
I didn't lock it. I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think the Packers are going to win. I mean, I think, you know, Aaron Rodgers is 6-0 after a loss under this regime here in Green Bay, under LaFleur. In four of those games, he's had averaged four touchdowns and zero picks.
He'll have four tonight.
So he's going to come out. He's got a young secondary. Akuda, their best corner, is out with a torn Achilles. You got a couple rookies and a third-year corner starting. So
you're going to pick who you're picking. And it sounds like it's the Packers. Have a great call, Tony. Pete, we'll talk to you next week. For our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.